on today's Run to the Top podcast.
The reason why we started the races that we did start was because we really enjoyed the trails and the course that we designed. So that was one of the biggest things that we did from the beginning was, would we personally race on that course? If we wouldn't, then it wasn't something that we wanted to host.
Welcome to the Run to the Top podcast from Runners Connect, where it's all about learning from the best and most inspiring minds in the sport. Together, we can train a smarter, healthier, and faster running community. Now here's your host, Stephanie K. Atwood.
Welcome. This is Stephanie K. Atwood, Boston Marathon qualifier coach and host for the Run to the Top podcast. On today's podcast, we'll be talking with Justin and Denise Ricks of Mad Moose Events. If you've ever wanted to visit incredible Moab and experience the beauty of the red rocks and canyon lands in Utah and Colorado, why not include a race too? As runners, I know a lot of us always look at potential races when planning our vacations. So let's learn a bit more about this area, its history, its amazing geology and topography, and some super ways to run there. Let's hear more about Moab, the Colorado River, Canyonlands, and the surrounding areas for a future destination run from people who really know the area. Welcome, Justin and Denise, and thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Yeah, I'm excited to learn more about Moab, especially the running and hiking potential there, because I know if people are doing like trail running there, they're not always actually running. And so that's one of the things that's so great about that area and about doing different kinds of both road racing and trail racing in an area like Moab. So let's start off with the four basic questions first, and we'll start with you, Denise. How old are you now? Where were you born? What town or city do you currently live in? And what is your favorite race distance or type of race?
I am 38 years old, and I was born in Pueblo, Colorado. I just kind of have been running with my kids as they were getting older. And now that they're of age to run on their own, I'm really finding fun in quiet trail running. And I love finding new trails in Moab. It seems like as long as I've been here, I've not seen everything. And since we're now living here, I've had a great opportunity to explore so many areas of this desert.
Yeah, wow. Very neat. And Justin, what about you?
I am 38 years old. We're currently here in Moab, Utah. I am from Colorado Springs. And I've been running since I was a little kid. My dad was a ultra runner in the early 90s. And I think I ran my first 5K when I was 5 or 6 years old, and I've been running ever since.
What is your favorite distance, or do you have a favorite distance or type of race?
I really like that marathon or 50K distance in the mountains. Mm-hmm. That's probably my favorite.
Yeah, that seems to be a new phase, at least with runners in general. But I think a lot of us who have been running for a long time have realized the value of running on trails and running in the mountains and taking in all of that beauty as well as getting some good exercise.
Yes.
So I'm going to read a bit about you as runners, since we always love to hear about runners, and then we'll also talk about the area. But let me go on here with Justin and Denise met running cross country at the University of Colorado in Colorado Springs, and they married 17 years ago, took a brief break from running to start a family. Justin quickly regained his status as a competitive athlete, winning the Eugene Marathon. What year was that that you won the Eugene Marathon?
It was 2011.
And that was in the time of 2:22. He has placed a number of times at national championships events, including the 2017 100 kilometer trail national championships. And Denise, you mentioned in the talk this morning that you are running again. When did you pick that up after having children?
I think my son was 2 and my daughter was 1 when I decided I wanted to start running again. But With our busy schedules and Justin running competitively, I really spent a lot of time just with the kids out on the trails hiking. Justin would go for a run. I would hike and run with them. The faster they got, the more I got to run and hike less. And now the kids are really fast and I chase them. So I feel like now I can get fast because I have somebody to chase.
Oh, that's true. And in your children, Malachi and Kyla evidently inherited their parents' love for the sport and have competed in high school track and cross country. Now, Mad Moose events started with four small races only 4 years ago. One was in Moab, three in Colorado Springs. This year, you have 17 races offered throughout the 12 months. And I have here that your goal is to offer quality running events where every runner is celebrated. Let's learn more about the one of the most fascinating geologic wonders of the U.S. and maybe in the world, while we also learn how we can run and even race in that amazing area around Moab. So let's talk a little bit about Moab, the Canyonlands area. Tell us what is special about it, and this may be slightly different for the, you know, each of you. Why would people want to visit it? In general, what is there for people to do?
I just love the red rocks of the area. Just as you're pulling into Moab, you start to see Arches National Park, and all of the different red rock formations in every canyon, and there's trails everywhere, so you can get back and explore some remote areas, even in the national parks, and it's so pretty. There's something just about being here and just feeling the atmosphere that kind of the geological formations brings to the area. It's just something really special.
You know, my first visit to Moab was many years ago, probably 30 some years ago, maybe even longer, but it was to climb there. And I was so taken by the rocks and the roots and the beauty of it, and so different from where I really spent a lot of time, which was in Yosemite. Justin, what is what's your take on what's special about Moab and that Canyonlands area?
First off, there's two national parks just right here in Moab, Canyonlands and Arches. Not only that, but there's a ton of wilderness areas. And then to the south of Moab, there's also Bear's Ears. So it's just a unique and diverse area. And it's not only like desert, but we also have 13,000 foot mountains just right there. So you can be in this, the rocks while still enjoying the views of big mountains. So I think it's just different than most any place else in the country. And, you know, we were on the road for a year and we lived in our camper for a year and traveled the country. So we've seen quite a bit, and we just always kept coming back that Moab was just something special, just had something different that nothing else did. And it's a fun place to be. And it's just one of those places that every time you come here, you think that maybe you've checked off some of the things you'd like to see. Mm-hmm. You show up and there's 10 new ones.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how long you spend here. There's something else to see, something else to do.
And what took you there in the first place? Clearly you didn't live, either of you lived too far from it. But what, what made you end up in Moab?
Well, we just, we first came here for a trail race that we were doing. I was just getting back into running. I'd gotten up to, 240, 250 pounds and decided it was time to get back into shape. So it was like one of the first like ultra races. It was the first ultra race I'd ever did. We got here and it was just like, hey, we just really, really want to be here. And so a couple years later, I just worked out that we started these events in town and we just tried to get here as soon as we could. And after we acquired the half marathon series, it made sense for us to relocate to town. So we moved here last year and are really enjoying our time.
And question that I have about that, you live in Moab now. You've both run a lot in that area. Can you talk a bit about some of the runs, the hikes, the things that would be fun for people to explore if they do come to your area? And Denise, maybe start with you. Name a couple of your favorite workouts with physical running, hiking, whatever. And then Justin, maybe you can fill in a couple too.
We are lucky enough to live right underneath the Moab Rim, and so we're about 5 minutes from the Moab Rim trailhead, and that is my favorite trail in town. There's a hiking-only section that's a little less than a mile long. It's a 1,000-foot climb to the top of the rim called Stairmaster Trail. Mm-hmm. Hands down, my favorite trail in Moab. We do hill repeats on it. I'll, you know, just go up and run it once and then get back into the Behind the Rocks wilderness area. And so just the accessibility of the trail, the beauty of the trail, it's just my favorite run. You get to the top and you can look down and see the Colorado River winding through the canyon.
Wow.
And the Behind the Rocks wilderness fins in the back. It's an amazing hike. So that's, I think, my favorite. My everyday run is just along the Colorado River through the wetlands. It's just a flat dirt road, but it's in a wildlife preserve. So there's hundreds of birds and deer and raccoons and, so many different critters. And then you run by the river and there's ducks. And so I'm a bird lover, so I really like that trail as well.
Nice. Justin, how about you?
There's one thing about Moab, it's sometimes hard to pick your favorite trail because they all are pretty awesome. And they all have something, different or, that they offer. I think my favorite is probably the Mossa Back Trailhead system. Just because, you get great views of Behind the Rocks wilderness area and all the fins, like Denise was talking about, but you also have really stellar views of the La Salle Mountains, and you can see the Colorado River, and it's kind of just looking out over canyonlands, and so those are probably my favorite. Just the Mossa Back. There's a few trails back in that area that are just incredible.
Now, you mentioned before we started this interview that you also climb. Is it mountain climbing? Is it technical climbing? Is there a mix of that? It sounds like your family is really outdoorsy.
Well, we do climbing of mountains. So mostly hiking. I would say for Justin and the kids, it's running. For me, it's hiking. But whatever we do is on our feet most of the time.
Love it. It's really great. So you were talking about 13,000 foot peaks there. So they can be run or hiked, I'm sure. Are there technical routes on them as well? Or is it mainly maybe steep trails?
It's mostly just steep trails. There is some climbing back in there, but most of it's just hiking. So, and it's not like, the La Salle Mountains are actually not super steep or over technical. They're pretty smooth trails for the most part. So they're a little overgrown because nobody ever goes up there. So that's the biggest challenge, is just having overgrown trails in some places. But it's pretty remote up in there, and there's just not a whole lot of people. You go back there and spend hours, and there's tons. You're more likely to see bears. You'll probably see a bear before you see a person up there.
Yeah, it's interesting because you can get used to actually running into bears, or at least seeing bears around, and not be totally put off by seeing them or realizing that most of the time it's not going to be an issue.
Yeah, the bears in the La Salle Mountains are super afraid. So
that's good.
They turn and run. I mean, we had an example of, where we encountered a mom with a cub, and it was not an issue. She turned and ran and actually left the cub. And we were with the family. And so they're always really, they run away pretty quick, and there's never a problem with the bears here in Utah. So
that would be a natural response, unless they've gotten so used to people that they're going to approach you because they want something from you. So tell me a bit about the topography and the history of that area, because I know it's full of really interesting history. And of course, geologically, it's fascinating.
You know, I've done some reading in the history of Moab, and it started out as a cattle town, a place people were coming to graze their cattle, which quickly became kind of a problem because the landscape couldn't handle as many cows as they were putting on the land. Mm. And then transformed a little into a mining town. Mm-hmm. And finally, once people realized the gem that was Moab, Utah, a recreation destination, and now thousands of visitors are coming every year to visit the two national parks. We have a state park, we have wilderness areas. And so it really has transformed into an outdoor escape.
Yeah, I know that the national parks can be really difficult to get into, to stay in, that kind of thing. But with other access, like you said, you have wilderness areas and maybe BLM. What is it like for people to try and stay there if they want to camp or if they want to stay in a hotel or, you know, that kind of thing? What's that like in your area?
Arches is, I admit, is difficult to get into during the peak seasons. Mm-hmm. The shoulder seasons, it's rather quiet and an easy way to get in, which works out great for us since all of our races are in the shoulder season, so our runners get to experience it that way. Canyonlands National Park is actually not that crowded. It's easy to get into. There's a lot of trail systems. It's a great place to go if you want to visit a national park, but you still want to get away from crowds. The access to the wilderness areas is super simple to get into. So even though there's a lot of people here, you can find a quiet trail anytime. As far as lodging goes, camping is great in Moab. There's free camping, there's BLM camping, there's campgrounds, there's canvas camp setups out north of town. And nice. So you have a lot of different camping options. The hotels, it seems like there's a new one being built all the time. And so there's definitely more and more lodging options becoming available in town. There's also the option to rent homes or townhomes for your stay. And so even though it's a small town, lodging is becoming much easier as the town starts to transform into this destination.
With lots of different options, it sounds like, because that's one of the things that I always look for is, you know, can I camp sometimes? Can I stay someplace where I can maybe then sleep in a real bed and take a shower and, you know, kind of go from one extreme to the other kind of thing? So it sounds like you've got a pretty good selection of those. And how would people find out about that? Would it just be like Googling the area and looking at lodging options?
You know, I always refer everybody to the discovermoab.com website. Uh-huh. It's run by the, the tourist center here in town, and they list every lodging option, campgrounds, hotels, the bed and breakfast, the VRBOs. They give you a really good list on their website, and I would refer everybody to that.
Oh, good. Okay, so I want to move into Mad Moose events a bit here, because you started off with four races. It sounds like maybe you acquired this or you took over from someone else who had started it, but you now offer 17 races. And as I understand it, some are road races, some are trail races. I know you have one that's specifically geared to women. What made you choose these races, you know, expanding on the courses, and also describe some of them?
So we acquired six events, four here in Moab and two in Colorado Springs, and then the other 11 we started on our own. Mm-hmm. So we actually started Mad Moose, like I said, just a little over 3 years ago. We're working on our fourth year. And it originally started out with Denise and I and our two kids, because our two kids have been involved from the very beginning. And now my brother is also involved as well. And he came on probably 2 years or so ago. So it really is a family It's a family run race series, and we try to keep it that kind of fun, low-key atmosphere. So, and the reason why we started the races that we did start and acquired the events that we did acquire was because we really enjoyed the trails and the course that we designed. So that was one of the biggest things that we did from the beginning was, would we personally race on that course? If we wouldn't, then it wasn't something that we wanted to host. We didn't want to just put events up just to have events. We wanted to put together premier events that we would enjoy doing. So as far as like our favorite events go, it is a little challenging because, I mean, we do, and we believe, you know, I mean, we may be a little biased, but we believe we have, you know, some of the most unique areas. We have events in Colorado Springs, Crested Butte area, and Moab. So, really, if I, and we host everything like you said, from like 5K on the road to 105K on the trails. And so we have everything for everybody. We've got mountain events. We've got desert events. We've got, you know, road and trail. So we've got a huge selection for everybody.
I have a picture here of some of from your website of some of the events coming up. And let's see, one's already happened. That was June 9th. I realize now that's in the past, not too far past, but that was in Divide, Colorado. I have no idea where Divide is. But then the next one is the Pikes Peak Ultra, July 28th. Then you go into September with a Crested Butte Ultra. Then you go into Canyonlands with the other half in Moab. And then it just keeps going. There's an October Sage Burner, Dead Horse in November, Winter Sun 10K in Moab. Talk about a couple of easy ones and a couple of difficult ones. This Pikes Peak Ultra, which is, I guess, your next race, sounds pretty challenging just by the location and the ultra part in it.
Yes. Yeah, so we're actually hosting the USATF 30 Kilometer Championships this year at Pikes Peak Ultra. So we will have some of the best runners in the country and in the world competing at that event. Those trails are, I grew up in Colorado Springs. And so even, you know, like 10, 15 years ago, I always wanted to host an event on those trails. And so those are like my favorite trails that I grew up on is like a 12 or a 13 year old. When we moved to Colorado Springs, those are the trails that we used to run on. So they're just the least, you know, the more, the quieter trails, you know, the race doesn't actually go up on Pikes Peak, but you get views of Pikes Peak the whole entire time and you're in the Pikes Peak National Forest. So, but as far as like our toughest event would be for surely our 105K, which is 65 miles in Crested Butte, the Crested Butte Ultra, that's our most difficult event.
And that's September 15th, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we've got an event in Garden of the Gods, and that's probably our easiest one just because of the distance. It's just a 5K, but Garden of the Gods is the number one rated park in the country. And from my understanding, it's the number two rated park in the world. So, I mean, it even though it's an easier event, it still has great views, you know, and it's a fun race. So
when is that one?
That one is in May. And so we just acquired that event. So we haven't actually directed it. We were there this year, but 2019 will be the first time that we actually host that under the Mad Moose banner.
Now, which ones are on roads, or a couple that are on roads versus what you've just talked about that sound like some pretty maybe gnarly is maybe the word anyway for these ultras that you're doing, ultra trail runs. But which ones are sort of the other end of that? Maybe some easy road, relatively easy road races, because you're at altitude there too, right?
Yeah, in Moab here, I believe it's 4,000. I'm so wrong. 4,000 feet here in Moab, so a little bit of elevation. Uh-huh. we have Canyonlands Half Marathon, which also includes a 5 mile. That one's a net downhill course on the road. Uh-huh. It's a classic race. It's been around for 45 years.
Wow.
And so that one was started a long time before we took it over. But And then its companion race, Canyonlands, the other half, which will be in October, also a net downhill half marathon that mm-hmm. finishes at the Sorrel River Ranch, mm-hmm. Which is a really nice finishing location.
Nice.
And then we have, you know, Winter Sun 10K in Moab. It's a 10K on the roads. It's also net downhill, which is kind of nice because you start up at the golf course and you finish at the high school. It's a more local event.
Yeah.
Not as big as the others, but it's still a great way to see Moab in December. And then on the Colorado side, we have NORAD Marathon. Or it's a NORAD trail race, but it has a marathon there. And then we have the Pueblo Marathon and Half, which is in Pueblo, Colorado. That one is a beautiful, fast course, but it doesn't have a lot of difficulty to it. So an easier run. And it's held in February. So it gives people a chance to get a Colorado marathon in early in the year.
Now, are any of your races certified for Boston qualifying?
I don't believe so, no, because we only have the Pueblo Marathon and we're kind of waiting on some trail work there to finalize the course. So once they finish some trail work where the river washed out a big section of trail, mm-hmm. then we can get that course finalized and then certified. But we do plan on doing it.
Yeah, that'll be good. Now, you have a women's race also that just, I think it just happened, called Thelma and Louise. Can you talk about that?
Thelma and Louise Half Marathon and Relay has got to be our most fun event. The atmosphere that the women bring is something different than you see at every other road race. We always say it's similar to our trail events. The women show up really happy just to be having a girls' weekend, and it's just so much fun. You show up and everybody's dressed like Thelma or Louise, all the guys dressed as Brad Pitt this year, which is kind of fun too. And then you have the option to do the full half marathon, or you can choose a partner and do a relay. Everyone's bib says Thelma or Louise on it. Uh-huh. So one relay partner is Thelma, one is Louise. And so one partner shuttled up halfway up the course, yeah. and you get your relay done that way. And then you finish with a live band, some Thelma and Louise trivia, some nice snacks, and a beautiful, beautiful canyon.
Now men can run that too, right? It's just that it's geared to women.
No, it is a women's only event. Men No men run the event, but they're more than welcome to show up and dress as Brad Pitt and work an aid station if they'd like.
Okay. And that course now is in Moab, you said?
Yes. Yeah, it runs along the Colorado River, along what they called Wall Street. So an area of Moab where all the rock climbers go because of just the massive walls of red rock that you have on that, at least on that side of the road. There's also some arches that you can see from the course. It's a really pretty one.
And is it paved or is it a trail or what's the terrain like?
It is a paved, it's a road. It closed, you would close the highway for the morning and they run along the highway.
Mm-hmm. I think it's great that you offer both. I really do, because for a lot of people, there's some level of intimidation for running trails, especially if they think that it's going to be at altitude and those kind of things. So a road may be just enough comfort level to, you know, try something longer or in a different location or at a different temperature, all of those kind of things that are involved in running races, but that you also then offer these trail races that can be from moderately difficult to difficult and give people the option to see such an incredible area without having to feel like they have to be, you know, really heavy duty athletes to take it on.
Oh, I agree. I think that's the best part of it is just the accessibility with all of the different distances and terrain that we cover. And, you know, we started a new one in January called Arches Ultra, and we added a 9K there just to have a shorter trail race to give people a chance to come out and just see what it's like to run on trails in Moab, because it really is different than anywhere else you'd go to run trails.
And what about walking? Do you allow time for people to walk these things if they're not very fast and they still want to be involved in a race?
Yes, yes. There's plenty of races that the time constraints allow for walking.
Okay, let's go into actually getting there. How do people travel to your races? The actual getting to where they can participate. So they would have to, if they stay in a bigger city, how do they get to the starting line? What is your recommendation for the best seasons? How much time do they need to be able to come to that general area and make it worth both their flight time and also time to explore the area, sort of minimum amount for that? And what other things are there for them to do besides running, if they're coming with a family, for example? So lots of questions there, and you both have access to give us some answers on that.
Well, we're about 2 hours from Grand Junction, Colorado, and 4 from Salt Lake City. So those are the bigger airports you can fly into. Moab itself has an airport as well, and I believe they're doing flights from Denver now, which is kind of nice. You can rent a car here at the Moab Airport and then drive into town, but it really is so far away from everything else. You would have a couple hours drive if you wanted to stay in a bigger city and drive in for the race. Mm-hmm. Some people do that, but it is a longer commitment. So a lot of our customers drive here, which is, you know, great for them because then they can go see the national parks while they're in town. Even if you're not a runner, there's rafting and kayaking and skydiving and rock climbing and mountain biking. There's Mill Creek. You can take your kids to play in the water. There's Ken's Lake, where that's also an option. There's petroglyphs. So you can, you know, take your family for a short hike to see some petroglyphs. Some of them are available right from the road. Wow. And so you can just kind of drive up and see those, to bring your family to see something other than a race. But a lot of people spend their times in the national parks while they're here.
Yeah. And so do you think that having a car, either driving there from wherever they started or renting a car, is maybe the best way to visit the area?
I think so. We're starting to see some more shuttles open up, some trail taxis, some people who will drive you out to trailheads. But it really is kind of such a, even for a small town of Moab, it's such an expansive area to explore that you really do want to have the option to get out and see things without being tied down or stuck in town.
And what would be an ideal amount of time to stay in that area if time wasn't an issue? If you were bringing your family or if you were bringing some significant other and wanted to actually get a full experience, what would be kind of the right amount of time to do that?
I don't think I'm the right person to ask. I had to move here so I could explore it all. An extended weekend, if you wanted to see just some major points, longer, if you have the time to explore. We've spent a month here and left thinking, wow, we still didn't get time to see all of these things that we wanted to see. So as much time as you can spend here, I would spend.
That's a good answer. It sounds like a really spiritual place, too.
It definitely is. It's a little humbling once you get out there and start to look around.
So are you two full-time race directors, event producers, or do you have other jobs too?
We're both full-time, and so is my brother. So there's three full-time working on these races.
Wow. It's just a lot of pieces to coordinate, isn't it?
Yes, there's quite a few moving pieces on race day, so... and trying to keep them all going. I always explain, it's not a question of if something's going to go wrong. It's just when and how we can respond to those problems when they do happen, especially in our trail events. Because when you've got 65-mile trail that they're covering there's always something that's going to happen.
Totally. And getting, you must utilize volunteers for a lot of the different aid stations and things that are needed for support.
Yes, we have a great volunteer group. And actually here in Moab, we work a lot with the youth group. So at our races here in town, the people working the aid stations are there because, you know, we're donating to their youth group so that they can go on some big trip. So we have like usually like the basketball team is out there and the cross country team and the debate team and the band. And so the community has really come together to really help these events be successful. So
that's very impressive. And I think it's a really important part of being successful over the long term is having the community believe in what you're doing and directly involved in what you're doing. And because your community obviously has lots of different types of people, not all are trail runners or avid exercisers, then you're involving them in ways where they can feel they're making a contribution and benefiting the area, not just benefiting running specifically. So I think it's great.
Yes, we agree too. The community here in Moab, the Canyonlands Half Marathon is the oldest one and it is our biggest event. It was actually started by the city of Moab 45 years ago. So it really is looked at like a community event. So the community does come together for that weekend and it's fun to be part of.
How many volunteers do you need for that particular race?
I think we had like 250 for that event. And I would say that like 220 of them were youth, so under 18.
Wow.
So, it's really fun to give back to the local youth and show them how much fun running can be and that, you know, running is a sport that you can do for your whole entire life. It doesn't have to be something that ends, you know, when you're done in high school, you know, or at the collegiate level. It's something that anybody can do, whether you're athletic or not, you know.
I love that.
And so it's fun to like show them, you know, how much fun it is. And so it's been really enjoyable.
Yeah, that's terrific. Now, what are some of the challenges of being a race director? You've alluded to a few, but Denise and Justin, how about giving me some insight into this?
That's a hard one. I'd say I used to be a teacher, and so before I started race directing, and sometimes I think it's kind of the same thing, you know. You spend a lot of time answering questions, and I don't know if it's really difficult or time consuming, but sometimes, you know, that's that part. You know, you just get like a lot of questions right before an event and it becomes just a little overwhelming. You're like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize I should have done more to be more informative, or, you know, so you really start to see where you're lacking. It shows.
I would think in your head that you must, the week before a race, you must just have a million things kind of racing around in there and trying to put them in some type of order or some, you know, type of completion so you can move on to the next thing.
Yes. And we're lucky to have Justin because he's so organized and he keeps us really focused and on track and kind of keeps everything together. I always have to laugh because I'm just a little bit more spacey than him. So it's always nice that he's there to keep me organized and tell me what I'm supposed to be doing.
And he probably appreciates your being a little more, maybe a little more, not calm about it, but maybe a little more adaptable to things.
Yes. I think we balance each other out well that way.
Justin, what's it like for you being a race director?
It is definitely challenging. So, it's like one of those things. People who run ultras, you know, you get partway into it and you say, this is dumb. I like actually paid for this. I'm never doing this again. I'm done running. I'm just going to do like 10Ks. And then you get to the end of it. And the next day you're just like super pumped about the next one. So it's one of those things that it's like in the middle of it, it sometimes can be challenging. I mean, like I said, we have over 200 volunteers and honestly, we need every one of those volunteers to be in place on time and do the things that we ask them to do. So that's the challenging part, is trying to get those people, you know, to be there when they said they were going to be. So.
Yeah. And knowing that it's not going to work out exactly the way that it's written or that you would like it to. And so, you know, being flexible enough to be able to handle whatever doesn't happen the way it's supposed to.
Yes, I've had to learn to be very flexible because I always want to try to control the environment and control everything. And it's one of those things that you sort of just like go with the flow. And
well, being a parent would have gotten you started in that direction because, you know, our children are not necessarily going to go with our flow. And
that's true.
Yeah. So that was probably a good start. So what are some of the rewards of being race directors and event producers, especially in your area of the country?
Yeah, it's very rewarding. Just seeing people who have dedicated themselves to whatever it is. I mean, we see it like at the 10K distance, somebody who has, you know, really, really tried to get into shape and trying to, you know, do their first 10K or 5K or whatever it is, from that all the way to the people who have suffered for our Crested Butte event. They have 20 hours to finish. You've been out on the trails for 20 hours and seeing them, you know, go through all these ups and downs all day long and being there and being there when they finish and enjoying, you know, we get the opportunity to enjoy their accomplishments and we're sort of part of those accomplishments. So it's really fun.
How about for you, Denise?
I really love the running community and I just think that they're super supportive and fun to be around and they're just our kind of people. And so having the chance to spend so much time in that community has been a extreme positive for me, and not just for me, but I really feel like it's shaped our children in such a positive way. They just have, our kids love running. They love cheering for runners. They love watching races. They, you know, like to work aid stations. They like to work the finish line. They like to meet new people. And I just really feel like that the being a part of race directing has really brought them something special. So
nice. A couple of things here. Time for your own runs. Does that happen very often? I know you said you got out this morning, so obviously it's happening at least once in a while. What is that in relationship to being race directors?
I'd have to say, going into being a race director, you have this romantic idea that you're going to get to run all the time. Uh-huh. But the truth is you spend a whole lot of time in front of the computer. And so I think for both Justin and I, the last year when we've been growing in size and producing new races, our running has definitely taken a back seat. Mm-hmm. And we've this year dedicated ourselves to making sure that we get out and do our runs too, because we love running. That's what got us into this in the first place. And we want to be sure that we're still taking care of ourselves. So we're committed to it this year.
Yeah. Well, that sounds good. And I think that is a natural evolution to realize that if you don't get out to do the stuff that means so much to you, that it's going to impact everything in your life. So good for you for having that realization. So how has running changed your lives? How has it impacted your lives? Justin, let's start with you.
I mean, it's been everything in our lives. I mean, Denise and I met on the cross country team. So really everything that we had started with running, and we did get away from running for a while. I had a job that I was working 60 hours, 70 hours a week. And I stopped running for 5 or 6 years and gained a bunch of weight. And, you know, coming back to it, it's just everything, you know, it's everything who we are. After we got back into shape and got back into running again, you know, just giving that to our children. And running really is, it's all we do now, especially if we're not directing an event, we are running event. I think that we figured out that, like, since February 1st, I think that we've had like two, maybe three weekends off.
Wow.
Where we either weren't directing an event or running an event ourselves.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really,
it's your life.
It's all in it. And it has been for a long time. I mean, like I said, we met on the team and we've always, running has always been very, very important to us.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of us can really understand that, although not all of us have gotten into race directing, which is definitely another dimension to the whole thing. Denise, how about you? How has running changed your life or impacted your life?
I think running keeps me healthier and definitely keeps me happier when I'm running consistently. I just am a happier person. But I think it's also given us so much time to spend as a family, because a lot of our runs are done together. And so I feel like it's really just been a benefit for family dynamics. And now our kids are like, hey, it's time to go running. We're ready to go.
So cool.
Get those shoes on, Mom.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. We are going to be moving into the final kick. I know I sent you a little notice on that, so you have at least some idea. I ask you the questions about favorite local training run. You've kind of gone into that, so maybe you can reiterate one single favorite local training run. Second question is a favorite running book or a recommended running book. And third part is a quote or some kind of humor that you would like to share. And then fourth part, someone or something about running that you would like us to offer on our future podcasts. And then, of course, we do want full information from you on how people can contact Mad Moose Events and be able to participate in some of those amazing races that you're offering. So favorite local training run. How about each of you say one and where they can start, where to park, distance, difficulty, safety issues, etc. Denise, let's start with you.
I'll give you a different one than I did last time.
Okay.
The Hidden Valley Trail. It's really pretty and it gets up kind of behind the Moab Rim. And so you'd park at the Hidden Valley Trailhead, which is south end of town. The first section, the first, I'd say miles, again, 1,000-foot climb, and it's technical in parts and kind of ledgy. And then you get up into the Hidden Valley, which is a smooth trail in between two kind of rock walls. There's petroglyphs that you can get out there to look at. The views are beautiful, but the trail's relatively easy to traverse.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can link that up to do loops and come through the Moab Rim and then along the Pipe Dream Trail, that takes you back to that Hidden Valley parking lot.
How long is that run overall? Distance-wise, how far would it be?
Seven or 8 miles.
Okay, and because it's got elevation in it too, it's going to take a bit of time.
It is going to take some time, yep. There's some sandy sections, there's some technical sections, there's some slick rock sections, everything you could wish for in Moab trail running.
And any water along the way or bathrooms? It sounds like it's not that type of
There's not many trails in Moab that would include water or bathrooms.
So be prepared, be the good Boy Scout or Girl Scout and bring your stuff.
Always, any run you ever do in Moab, definitely want to make sure that you bring your water along, because there's it gets hotter than you think it's going to.
Now, safety issues, and let's go into this because you mentioned bears, but both the bear spray thing that sometimes people think is necessary is not something that, you know, most of us want to utilize if we know about bears. But any other kind of safety issues besides animals?
You know, when you're running in Moab, what the search and rescue is seeing the most of, especially with the heat, is dehydration issues. They're doing a lot of backcountry rescuing for people who didn't come prepared with water.
Yeah.
And so that's, I think right now that's really what everyone's talking about. We have a lot of water requirements in our trail races in Moab because of that. And so really, you just, once you get out into the Moab Desert, it's remote. And so you want to be sure that you have everything you need to take care of yourself.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And thank you for reinforcing that. Justin, your favorite local training run?
I like the Mossaback trail system. So there's a couple different places you can park. They're separated by about a mile. And then you can access, I'm guessing there's probably 20 plus miles in there worth of trail, but you could do anything from like a 5 mile loop to a 20 mile loop. So, and same thing. There's no real like water or
there are bathrooms.
There's bathrooms at those, at those events. There are bathrooms at those trailheads, but,
No water.
No, just the water. It's just so dry here that you have to bring your own water. There's no water at any of the trailheads
Right. Or
out on the trails.
Now, are there maps that people could pick up at the trailhead, or is this something they have to have that kind of preparation as well?
They probably should look at a map beforehand, but there are maps on the Mossaback trail system. There's maps at basically each trail junction. Mm-hmm. The trail builders here in town have actually done a really, really great job with the trails. You probably could just go out and just get on the trail and run, but I would definitely take a look at a map before I went.
Makes sense to me. So Justin, favorite running book or recommended running book?
I really like Jack Daniels' running book. I mean, it's not really like it's more of like a training book, but that's by far my favorite.
Really? That's an old book too.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just really like, I probably read that book once a year just cause, you know, it's always good to freshen up on everything. So
now what's the title of that? I have that book, but I don't remember the title exactly. Do you, or should we just look it up under Jack Daniels?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Put me on the spot, you know.
It's okay, because I don't remember either, but it's Jack Daniels. And of course, there's just a couple of different Jack Daniels that are well known. And and people won't, you know, they won't get confused between Jack Daniels, the drink, and Jack Daniels, he's a coach. Okay. So we've got Jack Daniels as your favorite running book. And Denise, how about you?
Oh, you know, I am an English major and I really like novels. So I don't read too much about the running stuff, but I really liked Eat and Run by Scott Jurek.
Oh,
I bought
okay.
it for Justin for Father's Day and finished it by the end of Father's Day. So
wow,
I made great use of his Father's Day present.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So you thought it was a good one, huh?
Yeah, he just had a good way of telling stories that mm-hmm. were funny and made me laugh. And then he included food, which I love. So it was the perfect book for me.
Yeah. Okay, good. Now, what about a quote or some kind of humorous something to share with our listeners?
You know, all my running quotes come from my kids, and they quote Steve Prefontaine all the time.
Uh-huh. Huh.
And so I would say track season this year, they're... I think their quote was something along the lines of, what is it? The suicide pace. I can't even remember now. See? Something about the best race pace is suicide pace. And today looks like a good day to die or something like that.
Oh.
My kids were, that was their favorite track quote. So,
all right, we can look that up on Google, Steve Prefontaine,
yes.
and see what comes up. And Justin, how about you?
I was going to say the exact same thing.
Really?
It was the Steve Prefontaine quote.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, we'll just Google Steve Prefontaine unless you have one right in front of you.
You should definitely just Google and read any quote he said. And our kids told us that for sure this year.
All right. Will do. And is there someone or some subject about running that you would like to listen to in a future podcast? Justin?
I can't really come up with anything.
That's okay. That's okay. I have to keep coming up with these every week. So I'm a little more trained in that. Denise, how about you?
I don't think I have anything super specific, but I'll say that our daughter does a Women's Wednesday post every Wednesday to highlight women in running or issues with women running. And nice. So I think that's always a great topic.
Nice. All right. And she does a social media thing? Is it a podcast? Is it a radio?
She does it on usually Facebook? Instagram and Facebook. Okay. Yeah. Every Wednesday she actually runs our Mad Moose events social media pages.
Uh-huh.
And so Wednesdays is her Women's Wednesday where she highlights someone. And that's always really fun to do because I definitely think at this time in the sport, women are looking for equality and they just want to be a part of it. So
is that under Mad Moose events on Instagram,
yes,
for example, or on Facebook or any
on
of
both.
Those?
Yeah, for Mad Moose events on both.
Okay. And now we are at the contact information and how our audience can stay in touch with you. So who wants to share that?
I can do that for you. We are madmooseevents.com. You can also find us at Mad Moose Events on Facebook or Run Moab as well. We also have a Run Moab Facebook page. And Instagram, the same thing, Run Moab and Mad Moose Events on Instagram.
Well, I wish you both so much luck with this. I think you're onto something really great and you are working out of a beautiful area. Sounds to me like you also have the energy to make this happen because I think that's what it takes more than almost anything is just being able to stick with it and put that energy in there, both taking energy from the runners because I know that they just revitalize us if we're runners, but also giving to the running community by offering these incredible running events in one of the most beautiful areas in the world. Thank you so much for doing this interview today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
And thank you to our audience for joining us for today's podcast at Run to the Top. As always, you can follow us at the Runners Connect Winners Circle on Facebook by going to runnersconnect.net/FB. And please subscribe to Run to the Top podcast at runnersconnect.net or on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, etc. to be notified every week when the new episode is published. And Justin, what is the next event that's coming up for Mad Moose Events?
Pikes Peak Ultra on July 28th.
All right. So everybody, that's one to think about. You've got time to at least arrange the travel. I think if you're going to train for it, you might have to have had some miles in already. But you have such a great array of events that I'm sure there's one out there for all of our listeners. Thanks again so much to both of you for the interview.
Thank you.
And most importantly, thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with another great talk to entertain, educate, and inspire you as you head on out to your running workout. This is Stephanie K. Atwood, your host with Run to the Top. Have a great one.
Thanks for listening to the Run to the Top podcast from runnersconnect.net.